startling numbers from the CDC this week. Deaths from heroin overdose have quadrupled since 2002. Many of the dead are young people whose families suffer alongside them and are left behind after a fatal overdose. We sent Rebecca Hersher and Carla Javier to meet with some of those family members this week. Carla, where did you go?
We went to a support group in a town south of LA, and they were in this room in a community center, and there were about 50 people there who talked over the course of the night.
Arun, it was mostly moms who came, although not all, and most of these people have been through just terrible things. A lot of them have lost children under 30 to heroin, to opioid pills like Vicodin, like OxyContin. These are gateway drugs for heroin.
Right.
They were really open with us, moms, dads, siblings, and they told us some really personal stuff.
My name's Alice. My son Joey died of a heroin overdose April 5th, 2012.
My name is Phyllis, and I lost my son. He was 25. And he died of a heroin overdose.
My name's Chelsea. I lost my 26-year-old brother to an accidental heroin overdose. He had been sober for over a year and relapsed and passed away. And yeah, that's it.
It takes about an hour to go around the table. Almost everybody had a really sad story. Here's a mom named Cindy.
I found him. He died on a Saturday, and I found him in my ex-husband's garage on Monday.
My name is Jenny.
That's Jenny Mariletos. She came to the support group to talk about her son, Dimitri. He overdosed on heroin at least 10 times.
He fought addiction for several years, multiple overdoses, multiple arrests. And
she's talking about him and all his troubles, and then she says something that totally shocked me.
I'm glad to say that he's in recovery today and he's here. He's over there.
We love him. Her son, Dimitri Zarate, is 37 now. He's sitting next to me, and as a recovering addict, he brings some hope to this support group.
Wake up. You know, if I have a bad day, all I have to do is, you know what, I have a warm bed and a shower because I was homeless and my life today is absolutely amazing.
The group is open to anyone who's been affected by addiction, including current addicts. Dimitri takes a moment to give advice to one addicted man who came tonight and is clearly struggling.
To the gentleman over there, just don't lose hope. All I can say is don't lose hope because I know what it's like to be hopeless.
Michael Martin Wage is listening. I see him start to cry. A few minutes later, he has something to share with the group.
I can tell you right now that there's nothing that you could have done, nothing, to save those kids. And I know because there's nothing that have changed me. It's me. It's my decisions. And it had nothing to do with how I love someone. You guys be strong and everything will be okay, you know what I mean? Your kids love you too, and they wish they could tell you that right now.
Around the table, people are nodding. The meeting goes on for another hour.
It's getting late, so we're going to wrap it up.
As people are leaving, I talk to Patty Levitt. She's a co-founder of the support group. Her son Travis died of a heroin overdose 5 years ago. She says she sees a definite trend of heroin use.
It's pretty shocking to me when we have one young person after another saying they're addicted to opiate pills, to heroin. I was telling her when drug court participants come, almost 100% now it's heroin.
Diana Prestesilecki has been in and out of drug court with her son, Andrew. Just as we start talking about him...
And speak of the devil. I got to take this because I don't get to call back. It's Andrew. I don't get to call him back, so...
Andrew is in jail right now. Are you clean?
You haven't used at all?
Diana has five other children. Andrew's addiction is exhausting and expensive for the family. He's been in and out of rehab for 10 years.
All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow. All right. Love you too. Bye. Yeah, so... You know, he was calling every day, but he's in jail. Nothing new is happening in his life. It's like and I can only come up with, you can have a 45-minute call, but I can only come up with so much conversation, you know?
She says she worries about Andrew when he's behind bars, but in some ways, jail is a godsend for Diana.
To be honest with you, when he's in jail, it's when I get my most sound sleep, because I'm not waiting for that phone call of somebody to tell me that he's dead. I'm not waiting for the knock on the door.
Wow, Becky, that is intense.
Yeah, and as we were leaving, Diana said something that really stuck with me. She said she feels powerless, and you can hear that in her voice, but she also hopes that the CDC report and more awareness will somehow draw attention and hopefully find solutions.
Wow. That's NPR's Rebecca Hersher. She reported this story with Carla Javier. Carla, Becky, thank you so much.
Thanks.